Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guests are two of the biggest young names in hip-hop. G Herbo, also known as Lil Herb, and Lil Bibby will be on stage at the Metro tomorrow night as part of a show put on by Red Bull Sound Select and Fake Shore Drive. These two artists are now big names in the rap game, but to Chicagoans, they've been on our radar for years.
G Herbo. Yeah, I've been through it all, man. Everything under the sun, man. I do this for everybody that come from the struggle, man, the gutter, what I come from, man, and that could relate to my struggle and everything I've been through and what I put in to get to where I'm at. So this is for who it's for.
Roaches, rats in apartments, mama smoking, baby starving, systems loaded, discharging. I grew up in all it. Ghetto away, no slums, bottom, what you wanna call it. Nobody role models, everybody lost.
Herbo and Lil Bibby grew up together on the east side of Chicago in the South Shore neighborhood, where they started as street rappers in the drill scene, a scene that's uniquely Chicago for both the sound and the soundtrack. But they've emerged from that scene. They've graduated, if you will. But these artists write and perform music about their lives. And it's easy to just go with the stereotype, young rappers glorifying sex, drugs, and violence, the whole package. But if you listen closer to the music, you realize their story is a familiar one, one from coming up from nothing and making something. Herbo and Bibby have been constantly working, whether it's their own mixtapes or collaborating with artists like Nicki Minaj, Juicy J, Wiz Khalifa, Common, Chance, and many others. And with the news about Chance giving $1 million to CPS, the other big story is that G Herbo has been named an honorary principal for a day at South Shore International College Preparatory High School in Chicago. That's going to be tomorrow, where G Herbo returns to his neighborhood to give a speech and talk to students about the music industry. Yeah. In studio with me tonight, the veterans of the Chicago drill scene at the wise old age of 21 and 22, respectively. Guys, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
What's up, man?
Also joining me tonight, our old friend, straight from the Grammys. You didn't bring your red velvet tux.
I didn't. I should have worn it. I didn't know you wanted me to. I would have brought it with me. Yeah, absolutely.
From Big Shore Drive.
Yeah, the red velvet tux on, man.
That's nice.
I went full-blown Suge Knight on him. I had to.
He's the man behind the influential Chicago hip-hop blog, Fake Shore Drive, Andrew Barber. Andrew, great to see you. And you've been, and you know, Herb, you were on the show as well, and it's great to catch up with you guys again. Andrew,
thank
talk about what these are. Artists, before we start, I mean, these are two influential artists. I mean, I think I really, when I say they're the biggest young names in hip hop, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, absolutely. Two of my personal favorites have been for, you know, 4 or 5 years now. And funny enough, you know, we're kind of full circle. So one of my first shows that I ever did with Red Bull Sound Select was in 2013. It was the second one we ever did, and we had Herb and Bibby on that show as openers. So it's fantastic to come full circle now. You know, they're headlining, you know, one of the most historic venues in Chicago, the Metro, and the demand is crazy. I mean, I'm the most popular guy in the city today. Everybody is calling me, trying to get on the list, trying to get tickets, trying to get into this. So, you know, it's just amazing to see and the growth and that these guys are still, you know, killing it five years later.
What's it mean to be back in Chicago playing a place like the Metro, Herb?
Man, it means a lot. It feels good just because, you know what I'm saying, we don't really get to perform as much as we would like to at home just by us, you know what I'm saying, being artists that we travel a lot, and a lot of what's going on in Chicago on the outside looking in, people think that it's a dark cloud over me and Bibby, like we have a hard time performing at home or it may get shut down, when that's never really the case with us, you know what I'm saying?
You get grouped in with other artists,
like a lot of negative things that go on in Chicago, whether it's with other artists or just situations that may have happened. People may think that, you know what I'm saying, we get blackballed or maybe we, you know what I'm saying, whether it's police or whatever the case, that we're not welcome as much at home. And we want to really show them the opposite, that we do get a lot of love, sometimes more love home than we may in other places.
Bibby, how's it feel to be back in Chicago to play Metro with Herb, to play in front of a sold-out crowd like tomorrow night?
Yeah, it feels good, man. I'm happy that they letting us perform at one of the best venues.
Excited.
I know I've been there before with Uzi when he performed. I went out and did a few songs, but I'm happy to see that they're, like, getting us out of the little stereotype that they have all Chicago artists in, man. So it's good to be performing in front of
the city, and let me ask you guys, what is that stereotype? I mean, is the stereotype that, you know, that you guys are going to cause too much trouble? Like the audience that's going to come out?
They may think it's the audience that may come out, or maybe, you know what I'm saying, because with us being artists in the way where we come from, and just like you said, with the whole drill scene, and even so, when we first started rapping, we always had to separate ourselves from that because we always been artists that just talked about our personal situations and our life and everything we've been through and want to overcome, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the stereotype are they're usually, you know what I'm saying, maybe negative energy, or they may attract this crowd, or they may bring these certain group of people out. But really, we may have a crowd full of college prep kids, or, you know what I'm saying, just college students or whatever the case, kids from Elgin and Skokie all out that just want to come out and, you know what I'm saying, experience everything that we experience because we want to see our fans, you know what I'm saying. We get a kick and a drive and just a certain emotion just from feeling that love from other ethnicities and other people that we didn't even know we touched through our music.
Andrew, is it tough? I mean, is it tough for drill artists from Chicago artists to shake that stereotype? I mean, when you're talking about booking clubs or trying to put shows on in Chicago?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, that's always an issue. I think a lot of venues get nervous about booking people at home, you know, especially right. in Chicago. But right. I've done numerous shows with Herb. We've done them in Austin. We've done them in L.A. We've done them in Chicago and never had any issues. And it's right. always been great. It's just been a really fun, excited, engaged crowd. And, you know, I've only done one with Bibby. And the first one we did was amazing.
Honestly just get better, honestly. Like, the first show we did was at the Double Doors,
right?
That was
correct.
About 3-4 years ago. And it was crazy, you know. So it only gets better. And me and Bibby, we just performed what was that, Star Bar? Maybe about a month and a half ago, and it was crazy, you know. And I was there a week before, and he came the week after, you know what I'm saying? We did each other's set list. So.
Is it great, Bibby, for you, I mean, to play, is it something special about playing in Chicago? I mean, to be able to continue
yeah,
to
Chicago
do that?
Chicago always gives us, like, the best energy, you know what I'm saying? And it's always good to see your hometown messing with you heavy, you know what I'm saying? That's basically where, you know, you get your solid fan base from, you know, right. your hometown.
It's do you guys recognize the fan base expanding? I mean, you mentioned the college prep kids and Skokie yeah. and Elgin and other places. Do you recognize as you guys continue in your careers that the fan base expands? It's not the yeah. same guys that were listening to when you were 15, 16 years old?
Right. I mean, of course, because that's what we strive for. We strive to grow as artists and young men, too, at the end of the day, you know. So we want to touch other lives, and really, you don't have to experience or didn't have to experience anything that we went through in the past, you know what I'm saying, just to really see that we're trying to overcome it and we want positivity in our city and we want to be considered as role models, you know what I'm saying, for people who just may want to stay in school, you know, just to get them that motivation. No matter what you're doing, I apply the same focus to my music that you could apply to being a doctor or a lawyer, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So that's what we really try to speak in our music and just in general as men, you know what I'm saying, to mm-hmm. the youth and to people all over our city, you know what I'm saying? I feel like if we can't be role models in our city, we can't anywhere else in the world.
Let's take a
quick. I had some, can I add something
yeah,
real quick?
Please.
Funny enough, I had an email today from a group of students at like Green Bay College in Green Bay, Wisconsin, that are driving down for the show tomorrow that ask if they could get in with their student IDs.
See, that's crazy.
There you
go.
So
like, it's not just Chicago. We got people coming from the greater Midwest area right. down.
Exactly. Hip hop artist G Herbo, Lil Bibby in studio. Andrew Barber from Fake Short Drive as well. We're talking about the show that's at the Metro tomorrow night, put on by Red Bull Sound Select and Fake Short Drive. Let's continue to talk about positivity and role models and your principle for a day stint. You're using your time wisely here in the next couple days here on The Download. We'll take a quick break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Oh, it's great to have in studio G Herbo, Lil Bibby. Been fans of yours for a while, guys. I was telling Bibby before we started, I feel like I know you guys just from Instagram. Like early on.
Don't judge us, man.
Also in studio tonight, Andrew Barber. He's the man behind Fake Short Drive, G Herbo, Lil Bibby. We should expect something, a collaborative record you guys are working on, No Limitation.
Yeah.
But G Herbo, Strictly For My Fans mixtape, Free Crack 3, the epilogue should be out soon for Lil Bibby. It's great to have, I mean, you guys have been so prolific in the way that you are continually putting out music. Talk about that evolution from the days from when you started and you watching some of the videos on when you guys were 15, 16 years old, standing on the corner at, was it 79th and Essex, to where you're at now. Talk about the evolution of your music and how it's changed from those days.
I mean, the evolution, is, well, from our music from then and now, would be growing with time, you know, growing with experiences that we've been through, the good, the bad, just really learning from it and trying to strive to be better, you know what I'm saying? Because through when we first started rapping, we never really saw this coming from it. You know, we were just really talking about our life, what we going through, the average kid from 79th Street, but not even the average, us really living and growing up as adults, even when we were teenagers,
right,
you know what I'm
right.
saying? So having to deal with everything that's going on, all the obstacles that come our way in Chicago and being able to overcome it and really seeing that we could change our lives and everyone around us' lives with music, that's the whole, you know what I'm saying, evolution just from us being and thinking like 16-year-olds to 21 and 22-year-olds, you know what I'm saying,
right.
with a purpose.
You've lived a life in 5 years. I got to ask, it's interesting because you've talked about it, Herb, just this idea of, you know, you write what you know. You're writing about your life.
Right.
And as you guys get further and further from the street rapper scene, the drill scene, as I kind of mentioned at the beginning, what are you? How do you stay connected to that? Because, I mean, what are you writing about now? I mean, you guys are living different lives. You know, it feels like every time I open up a new video from you guys, it's a lot of money and cars and things like that. But talk about, you know, like if you are a true artist writing about what you know, how difficult is it to do that as you move further from what got you here?
I would say you just basically rap about what you're going through at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like we've got all the way further from the life that we used to live.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We kind of one foot in, one foot out, because we got a lot of homeboys, a lot of family members that still living that lifestyle.
Still face
that,
those.
You know, and I feel like we are not all the way out of it until we can bring all of the people out of it also. So I feel like we kind of one foot in, one foot out. That's why you might hear us rapping about that stuff still, because we're still one foot in, one foot out. You feel me?
There's a lot on the, I mean, even strictly for my fans listening to it today, I mean, there's a lot on that record that's about, that continues to talk about how you came up.
Right.
You know, and there's a, even Gutta, which is a song that is really about where you're at and where you've come from.
Right.
I mean, is that really at the sort of heart of the story of G Herbo, this sort of where you came from and how you got here?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much not even where I came from and how I got here. It's where I came from versus where I still strive to go. You know what I'm saying? Where I still plan on being with my music. I never really want to get comfortable and say I've made it or I've done this much and I've reached this point of success now, so I could really relax. You know what I'm saying? It's still all about me being better at the end of the day. I only want to get better and I want to be happy. You know what I'm saying? I love everything that I do as far as music and just the whole position I'm in with my situation. So I feel like I just, whenever it comes to a situation where I want to be stagnant or feel like I'm comfortable with this, maybe I need to find another hobby. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what to chime in on what Bibby was saying with the one foot in, one foot out thing, it's like, you know what I'm saying, we are in a position where we could just go out to LA or wherever and just focus and worry about music and just say, I don't want to be a part of this anymore.
Right.
But it's still people who we have loyalty to and family members, people who we care about, who we want
still
to
living
overcome
on the same
those
block,
situations
right,
to,
right.
whose mindset isn't all the way where our mindset is, but we still try to take it upon ourselves to show them. And you know what I'm saying, even with baby steps, just taking your time to really understand that the point of being in the streets is to overcome it. You know what I'm saying? We always talked about what we had we always talked about what we were up against because we only had so little options to choose from. You know what I'm saying? Like, with music, we were just rapping, and we were still street dudes rapping. We never really understood what could come from it until we grew passionate about it and wanted this for ourselves. Like, I want this for myself to better my life. This is what I choose.
Were you thinking about that? I mean, were you guys thinking about that when you were 16, 17 years old? I mean, it seems like, you know, that maybe that you have a
thinking about what?
Thinking about the idea of I'm trying to find a better life. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
that's exactly why I started.
Yeah.
You ask me, that's the only reason why I never wanted to work a job.
Right.
I never really wanted to go to school. I hated school. So I think I started taking rap serious when the day I got locked up. And I'm in a cell with all old, dirty guys, old drug addicts.
How old were you?
I was 17. So it's all drug addicts in there, and it's all drunks and just stupid people. Like,
right.
The only people in jail is stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they got caught.
Honestly.
And I'm in the bullpen, and they finna fight over, like, talking about, my block get more money than your block. And this, so I'm in there just irritated. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take this stuff serious, man. Because at first I was still doing a lot of street stuff. You know what I'm saying? I was rapping on the side just for my homeboys. But when I kept getting locked up, I'm like, man, I'm going to take it serious.
I mean, that is sort of, you know, and Andrew, you know this too, just the idea that an outsider audience that may not be familiar with hip-hop and hears drill stuff and you guys talking about your daily lives would think that, okay, it's just some glorified guys who can rap, who are thugs, who you know, are on the street dealing drugs, things like that. But when you hear the story there where it's almost like music took you out of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a similar story, Andrew. That's the story that you hear from a lot of hip-hop artists that come out.
They came out before us, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people lost, I feel like they lost touch with the culture, you know what I'm saying? And really what it's about, just even being artists or whatever, just the average street dude, you know what I'm saying? Even the average guy who may sell drugs on the corner, I feel like his mindset should be to do this to better his life, to better his family lives, and one day not have to do that anymore. You know what I'm saying? I feel like if this would you wake up and you want to do this for the rest of your life, you're actually backwards.
Isn't the idea, though, and I don't like this as someone who enjoys the music, is that fine line of the sort of performance art of it, the idea of telling the story of you know, and sort of, you know, telling other people's stories.
Right.
You know, as a rapper or a hip-hop guy. I mean, talking about... you guys talk about living your lives and talking about, you know, guns, violence, drugs, things of that nature. A lot of times, you know, there's a fine line between is that real or is that, you know, telling the story that's around you.
I think everything that is real that we basically put on a record, everything that we put on record is real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, this is Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really can't escape none of that stuff coming from where we come from. If we want to go outside, if we want to ride around the city, it's dangerous.
Right.
You know
what
I'm saying?
What he's saying is just because we're artists and you may think we overcome it, we still up against everything that the average Joe is up against. If we want to ride around and be in Chicago, you know what I'm saying, it's a possibility that we could lose our life. Or it's a possibility we may be trying to protect our lives and we may go to jail or the next case. I mean, so on and
so
forth.
I mean, how do you stay away from this? Stay away from those areas? I mean, how do you...
Stay away from Chicago. It's inevitable.
Yeah, right?
Stay in the house, basically. But I love Chicago.
Honestly,
it's hard to stay in the house.
It's hard to stay in the house and it's hard to stay away.
It's
crazy. Know what I'm saying?
But I mean, you guys are the preeminent...
Yeah,
hip-hop artists of our time, and,
yeah,
and you're telling us to stay away from that stuff. You just got to stay in the house.
You got to take it. You got to take it for what it's worth. You cannot take Chicago for granted. You can't take your situation for granted. You know what I'm saying? It's certain. Chicago, I love Chicago. It's so much love. We get a lot of love in Chicago. As you can see, we have so many RSVPs for this show, but you have to understand that this is still a hateful city. Someone who may not even know you, who may just feel like he's doing better than me or he is... This guy used to be a thug, a street dude just like me. Now he want to be
jealousy
positive
or something.
Now he want to be the principal at South Shore. You know what I'm saying? Like, those type of things. There's wicked people out here who may think a certain way. So you have to understand and you got to move like it.
G Herbo, Lil Bibby.
The best thing I would say possibly, you could probably try to do everything legit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know riding around Chicago, you have to keep, like, it's sad to say, but you have to keep, like, a gun. You gotta keep
you gotta
a gun
have protection.
You.
So
I would say
well
the best thing
the
probably get
way.
You like a security or like somebody on
so
your
you
team.
To, yeah, you have to have people
that,
around
that can
you
be
that
armed. You know that can be armed
legally.
Yeah, legally.
Honestly, legally.
Yeah. G Herbo, Lil Bibby in studio with me tonight, along with Andrew Barber. We're talking about the music. These hip hop artists, two of the biggest names in hip hop. They're playing at Metro tomorrow night as part of a show put on by Red Bull Sound Select and Fake Shore Drive. Let's take a quick break. We'll get an update on tonight's news. We'll come back. We still got to talk about principle for a day, politics. I also want to talk about drill. We haven't really sort of broke that down of how you guys feel about that word.
Mm-hmm.
So much to talk about here on the Download at the Big Table. Lil Bibby, G Herbo, Andrew Barber in studio. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me tonight, two great young hip-hop artists from Chicago who are really making a name for themselves on the national scene. Lil Bibby, G Herbo. They're going to be both at the Metro tomorrow night headlining a show put on by Red Bull Sound Select and Fake Shore Drive. Speaking of Fake Shore Drive, Andrew Barber in the house.
Hi.
The man behind the influential hip-hop blog who was all about the Grammys. Wasn't that Chance give you a little shout-out?
Yeah, yeah, he did. He did. He gave me a shout-out when he won his first Grammy for Best Hip-Hop Song, No Problem. And we were just so excited. This was in the pre-show. And he said he heard me yelling. So he gave me a shout-out. First thing out of his mouth was, yo, Andrew Barber. And then he thanked his family and everything. So that was a real... special moment. I was overcome with joy with that because I didn't expect it, man. You know what I mean?
Right.
That was really cool, and I felt, you know.
You know, everybody love you, Andrew.
Andrew, are you surprised, I mean, with the guys sitting around you, the talent that's in this room and then Chance and everything, are you surprised at how Chicago has gone past its borders to a point where now it is, I mean, it really is leading when it comes to the hip-hop scene in the country?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I always envisioned it happening. It took a long time, you know. Fake Shore Drive turns 10 this year in October.
Oh,
so that's 10 years in the game, and there's been a lot of changeovers. You know, for the first 5 years, it was exciting, but the last five have been the most exciting.
So we got about six in with you.
Five in
with you, man.
So, like, these past five have just seen it, you know, explode, where we have all these new stars emerging.
Amazing,
yeah. And it's just, you know, it's such a great feeling to know that I've been a part of it and I've been able to help it. And, you know, we continue to grow. And, you know, it proves that it works. And what we've done... We've done the right thing. We've picked the right artist to work with, and it's just great to see how it's...
Let's talk about drill, because, you know, I say that word and there's a little cringe in the room. You know, as a word that explains a type of hip hop music in Chicago.
Yeah.
Andrew and the guy and both you guys, I mean, explain it to us and to someone who might be listening in Chicago's suburbs right now who doesn't really know anything from drill to any other style. What differentiates drill from other music?
I never really understood that term myself, to tell you the truth.
Do you feel it's a negative term?
No, not at all. But I feel like it's just a term that people like just placed over Chicago artists, period. Because like I had another interview, they was asking me the same question. I feel like 21 Savage rap about the same stuff that we rap about almost.
Right.
And mostly every rap artist that comes from our situation, that comes from our background, raps about the same exact stuff that we talks about. But
so where did it come? I mean, where does that come from?
I ain't never really look at it from your perspective.
But it was that sound, and like, you got to think about the artists who have became popular in Chicago beforehand, right? I mean, you had Twista and, you know, the guys on the West Side, Do or Die, Crucial Conflict. They had like a rapid fire flow, very different. And then you had Common and Kanye and Lupe, which was, you know, a completely,
rap,
exactly.
And even Bump.
And even Bump, right? He was more even on a lyrical thing, and he rapped over kind of soulful beats. So I think drill just described like the new generation and the new sound, you know, more maybe Southern influenced than the traditional Chicago sound, and more street, because there wasn't really a street artist from Chicago that broke nationally until Chief Keef, like in a major way.
Right.
And, you know, definitely with Keef blowing up, open the door for a lot of people and to put the light on.
Well,
Chicago.
I mean, that's the thing. I think what you're referring to, Bibby, is this idea that it's a sound, but it's also the soundtrack of violence.
Right.
This idea that it's almost by the media, and everyone has said drill music equals Chicago violence.
Yeah, and I think that's why we always kind of try to stay on the outline and the outside of the drill scene, because you don't. Even though we are products of violence and, you know what I'm saying, street violence and poverty, we never promoted it. It's never a good thing to promote it, because we always were trying to overcome it. You know what I'm saying? Even, like he said, at the beginning of our careers, it was certain situations that made us say, all right, this not for us. We don't want to do this with our life. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like we never really tried to ride the whole drill wave, because on the outside looking in, it got a lot of national attention and people don't really understand what people come from and what certain options we have to choose from that make you what you are and the type of person you are, or made us the artists that rapped about the things we rapped about. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like we never rode the drill wave, because we never wanted anyone to think, yeah, we're promoting violence. And we come from one of the roughest neighborhoods in the city. You know what I'm saying? So it was never a situation where we wanted national attention to say, yeah, these guys are.
But you
just
guys were grouped in
up,
because
you know
a lot of what you were rapping about was about that environment.
Right. Well, that's every day. That's what we see every day.
Regular life.
You know what I'm saying? That's everyday life.
So in both
I feel like most of Chicago is like that, besides downtown and maybe just a few areas in the city. But most of Chicago is violence, if you ask me. Almost the whole city, unless you're going to move to the suburbs or something, maybe.
You guys have both talked in different times, man, watching interviews and you know, your music, but also your music about the next generation of kids coming up in Chicago. I mean, you kind of talk about in one line you say they're dangerous in a way that, you know, they're violent without masks on, you know, they're almost careless. Talk about the newer generation of kids who might be coming up that are doing things differently than you guys did when you were 15, 16.
The reason I say that and I believe that is because it takes for us as role models to talk to them, because a lot of kids, they're young, they only see, they're like actual real babies. They pick up on what they see and what they hear and what they think is right. You know what I'm saying? So us, when we were 15, 16, we were literally thinking like adults, like thinking and having to maneuver like grown men. You know what I'm saying? So despite any negative things we done, it was always because we had so little options
defend for
to
yourself,
choose from.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? So with the kids nowadays, they're more followers than anything. They never had, I don't feel like they're going through the situations that we went through back then, you know what I'm saying? Because they're still going to school and they just listen to music, or they see on the outside looking in, they think it's cool to just have a gun or to just be this cool guy or use drugs or do drugs because they're seeing it. They're literally being followers. Half of the kids, I don't feel like I can't say that they don't go through situations that we go through because we're all from the same city. But I feel like that younger generation, 70, maybe 80% of them are being followers. They think this is what's cool to do. And those are the kids who get the short end of the stick.
And
that's
the operative word is younger.
Right.
I mean, I was watching the interview with you.
What I would say, the only difference between now and back when we was growing up is they starting a little bit earlier.
Yeah, and the internet, the Instagram.
We had, like, back when we was coming up, first it was basketball. First, that was our first thing we was doing, basketball. These kids, no sports, no after school programs,
straight
no
the streets.
Anything. They just 12, 13 years old, standing on the streets carrying guns, trying to be like, you know, that's their first option.
Do you guys, I mean, you're 21 and 22 years old, it's a kind of an asinine question for you to ask. But, I mean, do you feel any responsibility as adults to sort of preach a different thing?
Yeah, I do, because I'm not going to lie, it make me sick to my stomach to really see, like, it's not, you know, because like Bibby said, we grew up playing basketball. We had a lot of stuff to do with our time, and that's not what we choose. This is literally not the path that we choose for ourselves. It's just we had so many options, so much little to choose from, and we literally adapted to our environment. Other kids are really purposely wanting to go out and be in the streets. That's why they're getting killed. And my sister's still in high school. You know what I'm saying? I still got younger sisters and younger cousins who feel like the internet and what's going on is the right thing, or that's just life. Like, this is, you know, something they're supposed to get used to. No, you know what I'm saying? That's why I feel like we as adults, I want to take responsibility to just.
What are you gonna tell him? What are you
gonna
tell him?
What I would always say is, the best thing to do is get you some money.
Honestly,
because once you get money, your whole mind state changes. You know what I'm saying? You start figuring out other stuff that's more important. You know what I'm saying? Money is most important, you know, to me, because you start to change your whole mindset. But I don't blame any of the kids, man, because I don't know where these guns coming from, man. When we came up, we didn't have as many guns on the street as as it is now. Nowadays, everybody, it's like everybody has them. I don't know where they coming from. And if you don't have one with you, and somebody pulls and, you know, comes by shooting at you,
it's you. I mean, the situation forces you to be armed.
Right,
it
right.
Forces,
it forces you. That's why.
What are you going to tell the kids tomorrow? When you speak, what's your speech tomorrow at South Shore High School? What are you going to tell them? I mean, because there are going to be thousands of kids in the assembly waiting to hear from G. Herbo.
My main thing that I'm going to stress to them is really following your heart, following your intuition. Because like I said, a lot of kids are followers. People deep down, they know what they want for themselves, and they may want better, or they may just follow after this kid who don't want nothing for himself. This may be really what he want to do with his life. You know what I'm saying? So my main thing to stress to the kids is really just follow your heart, follow your intuition. A lot of kids really want better for themselves and they want to do this, but they don't know how to express it. They don't know how to really embrace their inner happiness or whatever they want to do with themselves. You know what I'm saying? And even if it hurts you or it may hurt the next person, or you feel like your loyalty to this person may die down because you're doing what makes you happy, but it's you. It's what makes you happy. You were born in this world by yourself. You're going to leave by yourself. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I really want to stress to the kids, because it's a lot of miscellaneous following going on. You know what I'm saying? And they don't really have a lot of options to choose from, even though we didn't, but we had more. We had after-school programs, youth centers, camps, AAU teams, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, we can all, as artists and
Let me piggyback on that, because both of you, I mean, we just had in Chicago the big news of Chance giving $1 million to CBS.
Exactly.
You've been on the record, Herb, talking about you want to buy your block. You want to buy your neighborhood. You want to pick up, because where you live, there's some vacant lots or other things. You want to work together with companies to bring back where you grew up. You're going to school. You're going for computer engineering. You're going to Illinois State.
That was just an idea. I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say that I'm going for computer engineering.
Let's just say you're bettering yourself.
But not even to cut you off, just to chime in on that. If we come from the roughest neighborhoods in Chicago, and I'm thinking positively enough to build my neighborhood and create options for the kids, and he thinking about, even if it was a thought, going to school.
No, I'm
just
definitely going to school, but for computer engineering.
Yeah, okay, let's get rid of the computer.
To show kids that it's another way to do it. You know what I'm saying? They will literally listen and pick up to it because they look up to us. We role models, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people can't just find what they want to do with themselves. Once they find what direction they want to go and with their life, I feel like a lot of what's going on won't be going on no more. Like he said, more money opportunities. Or even with kids, you can't really get no money right now. Just find you something to do. Find you something to occupy your time that you love.
Do you guys respond at all to the national storylines when Donald Trump is tweeting out about Chicago and how horrible it is and we should bring in the National Guard? Do you have any emotion about when that stuff is being played out?
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. I know some people might not agree with it. I know I have homeboys that's heavy in the streets, but I think you should bring the National Guard here.
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
I feel like what can come from it so harsh or so bad that hasn't already? It's 9-year-olds getting killed. 2-year-olds, literally 2-year-old babies getting killed. So, I mean, what could the National Guard do besides what's going on? You know what I'm saying? Honestly, with the National Guard, all they going to do is really, they not even going to lock nobody up. They looking for a reason to kill people. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that.
You think so?
That alone.
But that might be enough for people to say,
people to just chill. I mean, like, that the National Guard, they will lock you up. But if they feel like,
they're
okay,
not police, right?
If they see somebody with a gun or feel like it's a group of guys. And this,
that scares me.
What about the idea of a police state? I mean, the idea of having to get past checkpoints and things just to go to your house. I mean, that's what people push back, especially
people
in
like
the middle.
I don't really like that. I leave Chicago.
I don't know too much about the National Guard. If they come in here,
the
to
National
kill people,
Guard.
If you think that's what they're doing,
I don't think
they're doing
it. No, I'm saying like that's what they. The National Guard, they gonna shoot first, ask questions last. Honestly,
I was just speaking from firsthand knowledge. When I used to be in the street on the streets. When the police parked their car, they used to park their car, like, right on the corner from us. When they do that, it's no violence. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I feel like if they can bring police to stand on these corners, it'll be no violence at all.
No, it wouldn't.
You know what
I'm
saying?
It wouldn't. But that's what I'm saying. What anybody, if they feel like they going to be bigger than the law, bigger than the National Guard, they're not going to stress themselves to put you behind bars. They're going to kill you.
If you think you're bigger than the law, then you got a problem.
Yeah, you do.
I feel like we've turned into an episode of Crossfire on CNN here right. with the pundits in studio. Andrew, the scene that's the future of what you would consider to be the drill scene, when you talk about these kids being followers, do you see the sort of drill scene continuing? Do you see artists that are like G Herbo and Lil Bibby coming up who are 14, 15 years old who are doing the same thing, millions of people on YouTube, millions of followers?
I think the drill scene is dead, personally. I think that name got a cloud over it and people moved away from it. I think the scene, while there are negative aspects, it's a lot of hope and positivity right now. I mean, I think at this very moment is one of the best times to be working in Chicago hip hop, because there's something special happening in this city right now on all levels, culturally, especially in music. I mean, everybody's watching what's happening here right now, and it's just a diverse array of talent. You got a little bit of everything, and it would be criminal to try to put Herb and Bibby into a box of drill where they are, this certain type of rapper, because they mean so much more to that.
Let me ask you guys as we wrap up here, and this is for you guys. This is really about No Limitation, and the idea that there could be a collaborative record you guys are working on. The two of you who came up together, who grew up in the same area of Chicago, on the east side of Chicago, and earliest stuff that both of you have done, you featured on each other. I mean, first, I think the story was that one of you guys introduced the other in terms of actually recording and doing studio stuff. What does it mean for you guys to do a collaborative record together with all the experiences you've had as friends?
It means a lot to me. It's actually one of the most anticipated projects for me, like I've been looking forward to this since we probably, since we started rapping, because this is our first official joint project, so it's going to show the chemistry, of course, but it's going to show the growth from us being who we were and where we come from to now. Like, Bibby put me in the studio my first time ever recording, on a microphone. He put me in there. So for us to just be in the situation we in now and be able to talk about our past and be able to talk about what we doing right now and our future, as homies, though, like close friends, is gonna only good could come from it.
Bibby?
Oh, I'm sorry. what did you say?
No, I said the question is for you to be in No Limitation, to talk about the two of you who've been together. I mean, when did you guys first meet? You're talking about 10 years old, 8 years old. But what's it mean for you to be able to put together a collaborative record with Herb after all these years, to continue to be in the rap game together, to be friends?
Yeah, it means a lot. I feel like it means a lot to us and a city as a whole. I think the city really been waiting for this. And it's kind of going to be easy because, this is what we do. You know what I'm saying? We've been working together for about probably 8 years. We've been rapping together. We started on the cell phone, like just voice notes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's kind of all natural. We just go in the studio and knock it right out. No writing, no nothing. We just, it's just all natural.
It's literally like natural, like a walk in the park. Honestly.
I can't wait.
But the city, they've anticipated it the most. I feel like Chicago is going to appreciate it more than anybody.
Well, I got to say, it's great to have you guys in studio. I've been a fan of yours and, Herb, second time through, so I appreciate it. Yeah. And I'd love to have you guys back in as you guys continue as artists and grow, because you are. I mean, when I say that you're the biggest young names in hip-hop, that's young is going to be taken out at some point. You'll just be the biggest names.
I want to ask you a few questions.
Oh,
though,
here
man.
We go.
How do you feel about the National Guard thing, though?
I don't know. I mean, part of me thinks that something has to change, because there's so much violence and it seems to be something that can't be handled by the local authorities. But I wonder about a police state. America doesn't have too many situations where we've had checkpoints and things that have been done in, say, Northern Ireland or other places where they live in a police state.
Right.
And I just wonder about, I always think about the people who aren't doing anything wrong or going to their job and coming back and they have to stop and someone, a flashlight is shining in their face and they show an ID, and what that psychologically means to people.
It can be scary in a Trump world.
Wonder, because if it were me and I was living in that neighborhood, I wonder what kind of psychological toll that would take on me if I was doing everything right. Right. You know, if I wasn't a gangbanger, if I wasn't doing any violence, but I just didn't have money and I lived in that neighborhood.
It'll just make you want to get away. That's all. You can't really get mad because
how
it's
you
for
feel,
your safety.
Andrew?
You know, I think there, I mean, some good points on both sides, but I don't know. I think that's kind of scary in the Trump world. Like having,
I think,
I mean, there just seems to be a lot of, you know, uneasiness as far as, you know, immigration ban. Mm. And it just seems like, man, that kind of, I don't want to feel like my freedom's being taken away.
Oh.
I feel like there could be other solutions to that. You know, I don't necessarily know if the police state is the answer or the National Guard is the answer. I believe it's more, you know, activities, jobs, after school programs for kids, like to get them back into.
Yeah.
Or but do you disagree with that?
I disagree with that because if you go, I'm speaking firsthand knowledge.
Right.
All of my homeboys, you can get them a job today or you can give them after school, anything. The young ones, you know what I'm saying, they will not go. They don't want to go to school. They don't want to do anything.
That's interesting. So all the people from downtown are all the people who want to do good and say, we need more after-school programs. We need more money. Doesn't matter because you just say the people aren't going to go.
We have an after-school facility in our neighborhood, and it's empty. Nobody goes anymore. We used to go. It's going out of business.
Right.
Why do you think that is?
Because basketball isn't cool anymore. I feel like people think the cool thing is to be a gangster. And I think that's just the
How do you change that?
But that's because I feel like that's what they think. You know what I'm saying? That's because a lot of times when we were going, when the entire time I feel like we were growing up, becoming the men we are today and going through everything we went through negative, we never looked at it like people are watching and really wanting to be that. Even though they don't know what comes with this and what we want from it. Like, we never wanted this or choose this for ourselves. We literally became products of our environment and had to adapt to it. You know what I'm saying? Other people, I feel like
they look up to it.
Yeah, we never had a chance to say to the kids because we were literally knee deep in it and this is what we facing our life, everyday life.
You were kids.
We never had a chance to really tell the kid, and we were kids. We never had a chance to tell people. Don't do this and still go to school while we doing this. I feel like right now, I wouldn't say it's too late. We just have to put in that extra legwork to get them on to that. You know what I'm saying? Like he said, none of the kids
really
going to go
Chicago,
to school or none of that right now.
I think it was a point in my neighborhood where everybody just really stopped going to school because something happened when they was coming from school and somebody, and it was like a few people that was shot. You know what I'm saying? That's when everybody really like, okay, going to school is dangerous, you know what I'm saying? And they stopped altogether, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I've heard that story of that kids get very anxious about having to walk a couple blocks or you know, and the school is trying to do everything they can or the city to try to do safe passages and things like that. But you say that had an impact.
Yeah, it did.
And we could talk all night. I love it. I love it.
It's great insight.
G Herbo, Lil Bibby, Andrew Barber. They are at Metro tomorrow night for a show put on by Red Bull Sound Select and Fake Shore Drive. I can't thank you guys enough. Great talking with you.
All right, man.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Justin, man.
Thank you.